This is the weekly podcast of Crestview Bible Church in Hutchinson, Kansas. Pastor Phil Oxshire serves as senior pastor. Let's join Pastor Phil for this week's Sunday morning message.
Introductions are hard things to give, especially when it comes to something like the hefty book of Hebrews. And so I searched the web and found some memorable lines from other introductions. And so here's some lines. Thanks for the nice introduction. Next to my resume, that's the closest I'll ever come to perfection. We were worried that our main speaker wouldn't be able to make it tonight, but fortunately, due to a hole in the prosecution's case, when I was preparing for this speech, I asked my family for advice. One member replied, "There's a first time for everything, so try to be funny and brief." And so, I'd like to introduce a man with a lot of charm, talent, and wit. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight, so instead... So we've all probably heard speeches that begin something like that, or even ones that begin, "I'd like to introduce to you a man who needs no introduction." Well, when we come to the Bible, really, on one level, we don't need an introduction. The Spirit can take God's Word, and it can open our eyes. The Spirit can open our eyes and help us understand its meaning. We don't have to have an introduction to jump into God's Word. However, since we are committed to letting the Bible speak loudly, this often means that we have to take time at times to orient ourselves as to what we're looking at in the Bible. Maybe the world in which the Bible was written or the genre of literature that we're looking at. And deeper still, I think there's a pastoral purpose that I have in wanting you to understand why I'm going to be preaching on a given passage. So these reasons, among others, are why we take time for introductions. And today, as we start this series on the book of Hebrews, this really is a letter that was written by someone to an audience who understood a lot. The author understood a lot about Jewish history and the sacrificial system. It was written to people who were struggling in their faith. They didn't have all the answers. The readers of this epistle to the Hebrews were facing persecution. They were struggling to have faith in the midst of awesome circumstances they were experiencing. Some were being thrown in prison. And by maybe visiting those people in prison, if you visited them, the Romans would find out and they would come and confiscate all that you owned. And so this is very serious. If they believed the gospel, it wasn't just some trivial matter for them. And the writer of Hebrews is writing to say, keep on and to encourage them as they seek to live life. And Hebrews really weaves 13 chapters around various themes, but I think the one main overarching theme that we would come back to again and again is that theme of perseverance or endurance or keeping on, keeping on. In the Bible, Hebrews is situated in a collection of books we call the general epistles. This is over against the epistles of Paul. So Paul might have written the book of Hebrews. We just don't know that. He's not named if he is. So there's much debate about who wrote Hebrews. There's much debate about the time frame that this was written in. And we simply really can't know for sure. We do know that this is God's word. We do know the message that it teaches is one that we need to hear. And so those are some brief introductory remarks. One thing that many of us love about the book of Hebrews that sets it apart maybe from other books of the Bible is it helps us unpack a lot of the Old Testament. So we love to read all that God's told us in His Word, but the Old Testament sometimes is where we go for the cool stories, and we can't always make the connections between, well, how does all this Old Testament stuff relate to me living life today? And the book of Hebrews is a book of the Bible that helps us make some of those connections. It helps unpack some of what the Old Testament was teaching. And so the writer of Hebrews is going to take us on a tour of Old Testament thought in a few ways. And that's really going to be helpful for us because we're going to see how much the Bible really points to Jesus, points to the gospel. So my purpose today in my remarks today are I really want to help you see why you need the book of Hebrews. I want to help show why I need the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to take some time and uncover some reasons that we're studying this book of the Bible. And really, we're kind of hopping in a boat with a glass bottom, and we're going to race across the lake, and we're just going to see some things. We're just going to skim across the waters, and we're going to try to see the big picture of how this book lays out and what are some big themes that emerge. And as we start to see this, I hope that your heart is just gripped and engaged and, ooh, I can't wait till we get to that. That's what I hope God would do through this message, that God would engage you in studying this book, and really on a deeper spiritual level, that God would take this book and begin to sear it into your soul, that it would just kind of be burnt into you, that the book of Hebrews would become a part of who you are, that as we walk through this, this wouldn't just be academic exercise, or it wouldn't just be, oh, well, that's interesting information, I never considered that before, but this would be, no, this affects where I'm at today, this affects how I live. So really, that's my deepest pastoral purpose. If you're an unbeliever here today, you may wonder, why does God do the things that he does? You know, so earlier in the service, I talked about this person who got great news that the cancer treatments have been effective, and then I said, well, God doesn't always answer that way. Well, why does God not always answer that way? Why does God do the things that he does? What's he up to? You may wonder why Christians just seem so bent on Jesus being the only way of salvation. You know, why do you guys just hold so firmly to that? Why can't you give any ground? Why can't you just be kind and let other people in or whatever? Well, it's because of things that we read in the book of Hebrews. It's because of truth from God's word that seem to suggest that he is the only way. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other plan. This is it. Hebrews is going to help us understand why God does the things that he does. So, it's because of these things, at the very least, that we'll see that the book of Hebrews is a book that we need to listen to. And I hope, if you're an unbeliever, as you listen, you'll orient yourself to this word, to what this book is saying. If you're a believer, you've embraced the message of the gospel, and we can easily drift into thinking, well, the gospel, that's for people who are unbelievers. I need to get on to deeper things. I don't need to mess around with the gospel any longer. I need to get on to deeper things that are going to affect my life in more real ways. So I need to know how to do this and how to do that and how to do that. And Hebrews is going to encourage us as the church, as believers, to not give up on the gospel. To persevere in the gospel, persevere in the good news of how God's acted towards us in Christ. The book of Hebrews is going to encourage us to relentlessly hold to this, to let this be the shaping core identity of our lives, the gospel. So if you want help in relating to others, if you want help in growing, if you want help in not giving up, if you want help in understanding why God does things a certain way and a host of other things, Hebrews is up to the challenge. And so we want to hear what God has to say about these things. So I invite you to join me today in this sermon as we see three reasons to study the book of Hebrews or the epistle of Hebrews. And just to orient ourselves to the book somewhat, let's read these first four verses that we're working to commit to memory as a church. So follow along with me in the Bible as I read Hebrews 1:1-4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So three reasons today to study the epistle of Hebrews or the book of Hebrews. And the first reason that we see, we're studying this book because we want to progress in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's one purpose that we have in studying this book. That's one reason to study it, because we want to know Jesus. So do you have a passion to know him? Do you long to deepen your understanding of who he is and what he came to do? Well, there might not be another place in the Bible to go deep in this than the book of Hebrews. And this is an amazing aim because Jesus told us that knowing him is eternal life. John 17:3. When Jesus walked to this earth, he prayed a high priestly prayer in John 17. And in that, he announced, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So knowing God and knowing Jesus was sent from him for us is basically eternal life. It gets to the core of what we're going to be about for all of eternity, praising him and knowing him. Paul would confess in Philippians 3:8 that he considered all the stuff of this world that he could boast in as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing him. Knowing him. So we come for one reason, to know him. So do you have this passion? Do you want to know Jesus more? Then Hebrews is going to be a worthy study for us. So let's look at some where this emerges at in the book. So what do we learn? What are some big things that we see about Jesus? Well, one key theme of the book that you might have heard about, if you've ever read Hebrews before, is that Jesus is greater, or Jesus is better. Jesus is really, you have Jesus, and then the greater sign, and whatever else is over here. So I know you weren't planning on fourth grade arithmetic this morning, and I know the way I'm describing it makes it probably look backwards and less than or something, I don't know, whatever. But Jesus is greater, that's the theme. And we see this in chapter 1, we've already hinted at that. Remember how verse 4 ended when we read Hebrews 1:4? The name that he has inherited is more excellent than theirs, that he's much more superior to the angels. And so that's what we're going to see in verses 5 through 14 of chapter 1, that Jesus is superior to the angels. It's the name that he's inherited is more excellent than theirs. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, you know, the title of that section in my Bible says, Jesus greater than Moses. So we're going to see that Jesus is greater than Moses. In verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. So Jesus is greater than Moses. In chapter 7, we're going to meet this figure named Melchizedek. Melchizedek. This is when we become Hebrews geeks, when we get really excited about Melchizedek. His name means literally King of Peace. And he's only briefly mentioned in the Old Testament a couple of times, but we're going to see that Jesus is not only greater than Melchizedek, but he also is greater than Aaron and the priesthood that Aaron stood for, because if Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, then how much more greater would one of Abraham's sons kind of be revering this guy? And Jesus is greater than Aaron. So Jesus is the great high priest. This is part of the argument, that he's the greatest high priest. He's the only high priest that we need. So Jesus is a greater priest than the tradition of Aaron could ever have envisioned. In chapter 8, we're going to see that Jesus is our great high priest, inaugurates a better covenant, a greater covenant, a better relating to God than the old covenant. And we see this in chapter 8, verse 6, when it says, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So better, better, better. Jesus is better. That's the big theme of the book of Hebrews. The long-promised reality that God would change our hearts and allow us to honor him from the heart are realized in who Jesus is and what he's done. So Jesus is greater. So we're going to walk through the pages of this letter then to see Jesus. We're looking on each page of the book of Hebrews for Jesus, who he is, what he came to do, and we're going to see how glorious he is, how exalted he is, how much better he is than anything. And you know what the ultimate implication of all that is? Jesus is better than all the stuff of this world. Jesus is better than everything you face. Jesus is great. He's the greatest. So there's much more that we'll learn, but we're going to see that we have a mighty Savior. We have a great Savior. So that's the first reason we study, to progress in our knowledge of Jesus. Secondly, we're going to study Hebrews because we want to encourage our endurance in the gospel. I already talked about this being a main theme in the book of Hebrews, this theme of perseverance or endurance. You might have heard it said that the Christian life is more like a marathon than a sprint. Well, that truth is found in page after page of the book of Hebrews. We simply can't get around the continual calls that it makes on us to persevere, to endure, to hang in there, to not give up. And to encourage us to keep holding tightly to the truth of the gospel, there's two ways that the book of Hebrews kind of encourages us to persevere. Kind of two edges of the sword, so to speak, as it kind of cuts us and says, okay, keep on. One way is through exhortation. We're going to sample some exhortations here in the book. If you want to turn to chapter 2, verse 14 with me. So an exhortation would be a positive encouragement to keep after it. The two ways that Hebrews motivates us to persevere are exhortation and warning. Exhortation is, come on, you can do it. Keep going. Go after it. You can do it. Endure. Warning is, you better do this or else. You better watch out. Be careful. So those are both warnings that we need, aren't they? And Hebrews is going to give us both of them. So let's sample first the exhortations in chapter 2. Specifically, verse 18, I guess I told you 14, but this whole section, verses 14 through 18, is an exhortation section. We read that Jesus is able to encourage those, to help those who are being tempted. Yeah, where's it at? I've lost my place. He's able to help those who are tempted because he was tempted. Right there in verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So what's the encouragement or what's the exhortation there? When you're tempted, go to Jesus. Go after it. Keep after it. Positive. Go. You can do this. Jesus has been there and done it. Go. Go to him. In chapter 4, we have an encouragement to hold fast to our confession because we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Again, the encouragement there is not to give up, but to hold on to what we believe. I think I have the detailed verses in your notes here, but we have this high priest who's passed through the heavens, so we can hold on to him. We can have encouragement in him. In other words, because Jesus has done this, continue. Don't give up. He's already been there. He's already gone through the heavens. He's glorious, so run to him. In chapter 5, we're exhorted to maturity by striving after solid food, which is for the mature. We're kind of urged, don't be stuck in milk, but be positive. Go on to maturity. You want a steak, don't you? Go for it. I mean, who doesn't want a steak? We all want steak. I don't want a bottle. I want steak. And so that's what Hebrews is saying. Go to maturity. Keep moving. Go towards it. And what might be the climax of the book in chapter 10 would be these commands to draw near to God, to hold fast to him, to encourage others all the more as you see the day approaching. Kind of these concluding, after the whole argument's made for 10 chapters, then the writer says, okay, so draw near to God, hold fast to him, and keep encouraging one another to live that way. Keep going after it. You can do it. You know, it's kind of the spirit that we have in these exhortations. Positive admonitions to keep persevering. But Hebrews also contains warnings. There's lots of debate about these warnings in Hebrews because they're serious. And I think they're meant to be taken seriously. You know, sometimes we discount these warnings too easily. Like, oh, what else? What's going to happen? You know. No, these are meant to be taken seriously. That's kind of the rub of Hebrews here. We do have confidence that believers will endure to the end, but we need to consider these warnings, and we see really five warning passages in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 2, we have a warning to not drift from the gospel to other things. So, again, we've kind of already talked about that. We I grew up in the church, and it was like, oh, you know, people need to get saved, and, you know, that's true, but that's all that the gospel was for. And the warning of chapter 2 is, don't drift from the gospel. You don't need other things. You need the gospel. Don't drift from that. Chapter 4, there's a warning to not neglect what God has said in his word. So don't neglect what he said in his word. Chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. The word of God is living and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So, don't disobey the word. Don't give in to disobedience. Follow his word. Hold on to that. Chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, we have this warning to don't fall away. Because when we do that, we're re-crucifying Jesus, if that's even possible. And we're holding him in contempt. We're making a laughing stock of the gospel by falling away. So don't fall away. Chapter 10, don't sin deliberately or God will deal with you. It's kind of a stiff warning, isn't it? Don't sin deliberately. So if you know the right thing to do, do it. Don't sin deliberately or there's going to be consequences. God's going to deal with you. And then chapter 12, we have this warning to not close our ears to what God's telling us. Don't close your ears to what God is telling you. So each of these warnings then serves to help us endure. And if you're like me, I need both. I need the exhortations and the warnings. I need to be exhorted so that I can positively walk in obedience and, oh, that's helpful, I can do this. And I need to be warned to realize that there's a danger in going in a certain course of action. You know, so I can positively admonish Andrew, don't play in the street, son. It's not a good place to play. But if he's starting to run towards the street, he needs a warning. He needs me to come and say, no, you're going to die. You know, and let that be a tool to keep him safe. And that's what these are in the book of Hebrews. They're encouragements to not neglect the gospel, to continue in a course of action that's centered on Christ, following him. So don't give up on that. So there's a specific design, if some of you are starting to maybe connect the dots, between in what we've been doing on Sunday mornings for probably the past 4 years with all this, isn't there? You might remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago we walked through the Gospel of Mark for 2.5 years, I think, and just wanting Jesus to speak, letting him say what the kingdom was, letting him say what the gospel is, letting him be the focus of what we of our worship and focusing in on him. Then we responded to that by going to the book of Colossians, which told us that Jesus is absolutely worth it, that he's supreme. He should be followed and clung to, and that he's got to be the point of everything. And we saw a lot of practical living related to the gospel. Now Hebrews comes along and says, yeah, he is great. He is the greatest. So continue in that. Don't give up on that message. Don't give up on Jesus and what he's done. Keep keeping on in that. Keep enduring. There's never going to be a day you don't need the gospel, so keep enduring in that. That's going to be the drumbeat of the book of Hebrews. So we study Hebrews to encourage our endurance in the gospel message. And then third and finally this morning, the third reason that we're going to study Hebrews is not only to know Jesus, not only to endure in the gospel, but we're going to study this book because we want to connect our lives to the gospel in deeper ways. In other words, because the gospel, what does it mean, enduring with the gospel? You might say, well, okay, well, what does that mean in my life, though? Hebrews answers that question. And really, it kind of answers it in the last three chapters of the book. So chapters 1 to 10 is kind of the, okay, endure. Jesus is greater, endure. And then chapters 11, 12, and 13 are, and here's how you're going to endure. Here's what it's going to look like. So if you're like me, you might have a hard time connecting how does the gospel apply to specific areas of my life. What does it look like to endure in Jesus for the long haul? Well, this is what Hebrews says. Hebrews says it relates to faith. That's chapter 11, one of the most famous chapters of the Bible. Remember growing up, it was called like the Bible's Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. Which reminds me of the Hall of Justice and the Super Friends. But this is the Hall of Faith, where there's great, all these great characters that we grew up reading about in the Old Testament. All these stories that we might have heard something of are now brought to bear with how it's a living act of faith in Jesus that sustained them. And these circumstances were less than ideal. You know, you may think that because you have faith in God, your life should just go rosy and perfect. And then you read Hebrews 11 and you're like, I think I grossly misunderstood the situation. These people did not have easy lives. The Bible says, for instance, that living by faith in chapter 11 is going to mean giving up the things of earth by looking to a heavenly reward. So, yeah. Giving up the stuff of earth for looking for a heavenly reward. Having faith means dealing with the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, deceitful. Sin deceives, yes. So faith is going to help us, and we're going to see this. You know, Abraham, he went out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him in the same promise. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So he was forsaking the stuff of earth for an eternal reward. Moses, chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to his reward. So, I mean, fleeting pleasures. Is that how you view sin? That's what the life of faith means, and that's what we're going to see as we look at the book of Hebrews. Having faith results in living a certain way. Having faith isn't just, I can live however I want and Jesus is my Savior. No, having faith means that you live a very specific, directed way. And that's how Hebrews is going to help us. And you see, that's the path that we endure in, by faith. We live a certain way. We're also going to be taught about discipline in chapter 12. Discipline. Anybody seen the Jungle Book movie? You know, cartoon? When the big fat elephant comes and they're training all the elephants to get in line, and the elephant comes and, I remember when I was in the Maharaji 5th Pachyderm Brigade. Do you remember that? Discipline! Discipline was the thing. What does it mean? I mean, how do we know when God's disciplining us, when it's a suffering, or how do we know that he's at work to do something in our lives? So Hebrews 12 comes along. Maybe when something bad happens to us, a lot of times we just immediately throw up our hands and like, what have I done to deserve this? I mean, I pay my taxes. I've tried to do things right. What have I done to deserve this? What's God up to? Hebrews 12 is going to say, well, God might be up to something like this. God might have greater goals than just your happiness. He might be at work to accomplish something in your life. So Hebrews is going to reveal what God might be up to us, because God's at work in our lives for good, fatherly reasons. So we need to hear that message. We need this instruction on discipline, or else we just think, God hates me. Otherwise, he'd give me whatever I want. Well, no, God is a loving father, and because he is, that means he's going to act a certain way for you. And Hebrews 12 is going to unpack that for us. And on top of that, there's other practicalities in chapter 13. I mean, chapter 13 is just kind of like a fruitcake. You know, one comedian says, what is fruitcake? Like, after they made all the good stuff, they just pulled everything else into a bowl and made a cake out of it? And kind of chapter 13 is, okay, well, they got to live a certain way. You know, enduring means living by faith, discipline, instruction. But there's a lot of other stuff that the gospel relates to, too. So we're just kind of throw all these commands out at the end about how to live in practical ways. Things about, like, how we handle money, how we think about marriage, how we relate to church leaders, how we strive after holiness. So there's a lot of practicalities here right in chapter 13 that help connect our lives to the gospel in deeper ways. And so we're studying Hebrews for this reason as well, because I need help with the practicalities. I mean, I guarantee you, I was having a struggle of faith and enduring in the gospel yesterday when Meg's at the grocery store and I have a child that wants to eat and will not be consoled no matter what I do. I needed to know how to endure in the gospel in that moment. I needed practicalities. Specifically, I needed milk. But milk's an external thing. My heart needed to endure in the gospel. So, and that happens countless, every day of our lives. We need to be reminded about what it looks like to endure in the gospel, because we have basic things that are happening in our lives. Things that aren't just quick fix, easy solve problems. You know, it's things that are going to require some wrestling. And so Hebrews is going to mount this huge argument to say, endure. The gospel's what you need. The gospel can get you through. So hold fast. It's worth it. Hold fast. Endure. Persevere. Keep on keeping on. You can do it. So the it's going to help connect our lives to the gospel in these deeper ways. Well, today we've seen three reasons to study the epistle to Hebrews. Because we want to progress in our knowledge of Jesus, and we're going to see great truth about him. Because we want to encourage our endurance in the gospel, big theme, perseverance, endurance. And because we want to connect our lives to the gospel in deeper ways. Now, if you're an unbeliever here today, you might hear that there's so much about this book that's just centered in the gospel. And today, do you know that message of the gospel? Have you come into eternal life by knowing God and Jesus whom he has sent? The gospel in the Bible is just the good news that even though we've sinned and fallen short of what God made us to be, God had mercy on us in sending his son to die for us. He sent his son to live a perfect life in our place, to die in our place, to rise again so that we could have victory and even to rule and reign today so that we can have confidence in living life. That this life is not the end, that there's a life to come. And that's the good news of the gospel. That's what we're celebrating. And that's what this book is encouraging us to continue in, even for those of us who believe. And so the Bible calls us to embrace this message, to turn from our sin, or to repent, to quit going, living life according to our way and live it according to God's way, and believe that Jesus came to the earth in our place as a sinless Savior living a perfect life, dying and rising again for us. That's what salvation is. So turning, saying, I've tried to live my life this way and it hasn't worked out. I believe that Jesus came for me and I trust that message. That's what salvation is. And the Bible is so confident that it just says, believe this and you'll be saved. It's amazing. Believe this and you'll be saved. This is the message that should drive and center all of our lives. And the reason the Bible centers so much on this word gospel, on this truth, is because that's what the Bible's about from start to finish. About exalting Jesus Christ, our Lord, because of what he's done. So will you embrace that message, even as we begin today in the book of Hebrews? Will you just say, yeah, that's the message that I need to live by. I'm not. I need to embrace that with my life. If you are a believer here today, are you drifting from this message? Do you believe that the gospel can change your life? Really? I mean, I'm not asking for the church garbled answer. Do you really believe that the gospel's up to the challenge, up to the challenges of your life? Or do you think that there's something else that you need? I mean, think about whatever's going on in your life. Maybe it's a friend at school, a coworker, a spouse, your children, a person you bump into in society. The gospel is up to meeting and engaging every one of those situations head on. And the gospel's not only up to meeting and engaging those things, the gospel's up to changing them. That's what the gospel does. The gospel makes us more and more like Christ. And that's why we have to endure in it. It just continually does that throughout the course of our lives. So are you drifting from that? Are you looking to other things? Are you putting your hope in the gospel? Do you believe, really, that by tightening your grip on the gospel, you can have hope for living? Or do you believe that, well, that's real nice, it'll get me through eternity, but what about this life? The gospel is this life. Eternity includes today. So embrace the gospel again. Tighten your grip on the gospel. Hold on to it. Don't drift away from it. Don't fall away from it. Don't rush after it. But listen to what God's saying to you. Heed that. Humbly embrace what he's saying and endure. The message of the book of Hebrews is don't give up on the gospel. Don't do it. Don't give up on the gospel. People are going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. I told Meg Friday night, I said, I don't know how I can preach Sunday. I just feel like my heart is so absolutely just out there. I don't know what. I'm discouraged and frustrated, and you know. Don't look to me. I'm trying to flesh these things out too in my own life. I need to endure in the gospel. I need to look to him and not to myself, not to other circumstances, not to others. I need to look to the gospel. That's the message of Hebrews. And so I hope today that on one level you're just encouraged in that truth. I hope that you can see, man, that just does seem to be a big theme as we look through the book. And if you don't see that yet, take time this week to just read through the book of Hebrews. And see if that's not just the message that God's calling. Just endure, keep on. You can do this. Don't loosen your grip. I've changed you, and I'm making all things new. So keep believing in me. Well, I hope you're encouraged in that. And I hope that as we study this book, that what would be produced in us would be more and more and more glorifying and enjoying God forever. That's the reality that we need to be living in, honoring him. And there's no way that we can honor him better than enduring in the amazing message of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book. And I know today's message is necessary to kind of orient us to the big themes and the big picture going on in this book. And I pray that you'll, just even as we've looked really at the big themes of this book, that you would encourage hearts today to endure. Encourage us to keep on in the things that we know, to endure in you. And Lord, there is just so much depth to this book. So just let us know you. Let us have a heart to know you and to be found in you, and that we would long for that more than anything else. That we want to know you more and more. And that as we come each week looking into Hebrews, that we would find you and find you to be more satisfying and more enjoyable and more delightful and more glorious than we had ever realized. And Lord, I pray today for those in this room that are maybe just like I faced this weekend, having a hard time enduring for whatever reason, whatever circumstance they're facing in life. I pray you would give them grace through this message right now to endure in the gospel, to trust that because of how you've treated us in Christ, we can have hope for the circumstances of life. give us that confidence. And Lord, just give us the ability to see how these things connect to our lives. Lord, we want our lives to be worthy of the gospel. And so let that be seen, even to the most finite practicality of the small things that we do in life. Let those be opportunities in which the gospel shines forth as we endure in it. So, Lord, make us your people through your word, and give us humble hearts to heed it. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Phil Ochsner, pastor of Crestview Bible Church in Hutchinson, Kansas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way. We also invite you to visit Crestview Bible Church's website online at crestviewbiblechurch.org. Crestview Bible Church exists to equip you to glorify and enjoy God forever.